Ukraine's president meets with Congress as the House of Representatives tries to hammer out a budget and avoid a possible shutdown. All of that and more today, September 22nd, 2023. Good morning, early birds. I'm Jonathan Lehrfeld, and this is the Early Bird Brief, produced by Defense News and Military Times. A quick note for listeners before today's headlines. Today, Defense News land warfare reporter Jen Judson will talk about the latest in missile defense news, including details on what happened with an Army hypersonic test that did not get off the ground. First up, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky made a whirlwind return visit to Washington this week as part of an effort to shore up U.S. support for Ukraine. He faced new questions about the flow of American dollars that have helped keep his troops in the fight against Russian forces over the last 19 months. Zelensky did not speak to a joint session of Congress like he did in a previous visit, but he had private talks with Republican and Democratic leaders. Here's why it matters. Zelensky's visit comes as Congress considers President Joe Biden's request for an additional $24 billion for Ukraine's military and humanitarian needs. Back home, Russia launched its heaviest strikes in a month in the hours before Zelensky's arrival at Congress. House Republican leaders promised to ask Zelensky tough questions about his plans for winning Ukraine's counteroffensive against invading Russian forces. The war is inching toward the two-year mark without major breakthroughs in Russia's heavily mined lines. Since the start of the war, most members of Congress supported approving four rounds of aid to Ukraine, totaling about $113 billion. But some Republicans are looking to stop money to Ukraine. Foreign Affairs Chairman Michael McCaul played down Republican dissent about continued support for Ukraine. He said he asked Zelensky what his country needs to win the war.
Two things in particular, air cover, WF-16s, and the attackers. He needs the longer-range artillery to hit Crimea, where the Ukrainian drones are coming out of. He doesn't have that. Right now, his troops are going in with no air cover. They have to take the mines by hand at nighttime. We wouldn't send our troops into that situation.
Speaking with reporters this week, Senator Josh Hawley said the officials arguing for more funding for Ukraine seem to forget American taxpayers are footing the bill.
We're not being generous. It's the American people's money. And they spent $115 billion of it, and so far they have basically nothing to show for it. And they're going to ask for a heck of a lot more. $24 billion is not the end. Not even close.
But in a virtual briefing this week, National Security Council spokesman John Kirby said he has a message for lawmakers who say they do not want to keep funding Ukraine.
If you think that the cost of supporting Ukraine is high now, just ponder how exorbitantly higher it would be in blood and treasure if we just walk away and let him take Ukraine, all of it. And then he's left in a much stronger position. And oh, by the way, right up on to the shores of NATO territory.
Zelensky also met with President Joe Biden at the White House and spoke with military leaders at the Pentagon. Meanwhile, Poland's prime minister said his country is no longer sending arms to Ukraine. That comes as a trade dispute between the neighboring states escalates. The Polish leader's populist party is also facing pressure from the far right in the upcoming national election.
On this vote, the yeas are 212, the nays are 216. The resolution is not adopted.
Another important story. With an October 1st shutdown looming, House GOP leaders failed to pass their $826 billion defense bill for the third time in 2 weeks. The latest setback leaves the future of the Pentagon funding legislation and plans for any government funding past September 30th in doubt. Congress has until then to approve a short-term budget extension or a long-term funding plan. If it doesn't, the appropriations lapse will trigger a partial government shutdown. That would cancel all non-essential military activities and furlough hundreds of thousands of federal workers. Six Republican representatives joined every chamber Democrat on the procedural vote, which failed. Democrats have been unified against the spending plan, and President Joe Biden has threatened to veto the legislation. At issue are measures that would limit access to abortion services for troops and prohibit diversity training. GOP conservatives who voted against it want deeper cuts across the whole federal budget. They want cuts in domestic spending, limits on aid to Ukraine, and border security issues addressed before allowing the military bill to advance.
I don't know if any of you ever played sports. Did you quit before the game was over? If you went into overtime, did you quit during that time too? I think this is where the most significant change happens. And that's why what we're going through right now, and I'm going to stay with it and solve the problem.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy issued plans this week to address some of those concerns in short-term spending plans to keep government offices open past the end of the month. But GOP leaders in the chamber wanted to advance the defense budget bill ahead of that work. Now, all of the spending plans face an uncertain future. House leaders have said they plan to negotiate and hold votes through the weekend to try and reach an agreement on funding. A quick note about our coverage of this, be sure to join us on Monday. Capitol Hill Bureau Chief Leo Shane III will talk with us about roadblocks lawmakers face to pass a budget by October 1st. In other news, there is no longer a Marine Corps uniform that requires women to wear skirts. For more on this, Marine Corps Times reporter Irene Lowenson joins the episode today. Hey Irene, so can you tell us about the change in the evening dress uniform for female Marine Corps officers? Why is it a big deal?
Well, Jonathan, I'm not sure that it's a big deal, but maybe it's a medium deal. In most uniforms, female Marines are either wearing pants, like in the typical camouflage uniform, or have the option of wearing either pants or skirts. The one remaining exception to that rule, or to that leeway, was the evening dress uniform, which is reserved for black tie occasions for staff, non-commissioned officers, and officers. So it was really just for some Marines some of the time. But still, there was a uniform in which women were not able to wear pants and had to wear skirts. And so now there's the option for that particular uniform. And it's particularly timely because the Marine Corps birthday is November 10th. And around that time, there are all these birthday balls where the Marines who show up in their most formal uniforms. And that's where the evening dress comes in. Some women surely will still wear the skirt. And this time, some female Marine leaders will show up in pants for the first time.
Can you paint us a picture? Tell us about the potential new design for the dress slacks.
Yeah, so the interesting thing is this pants are now approved. Slacks, as they're officially called, are now approved for the evening dress uniform for women. But the actual slacks, the design hasn't been approved yet. So ultimately, the slacks will look just like what the male Marines wear. So medium blue with a red stripe on the side for staff NCOs and dark blue with a gold stripe for male officers. For now, because the female-specific design of those pants hasn't yet been approved, female Marines who are interested in wearing slacks to black tie or white tie events can wear male slacks if they fit, or they can just wear the trousers that they wear with their dress blues, as long as they're high-waisted enough to meet the jacket up top, because it's a more cropped jacket. One more thing I want to say about the evening dress is there's an optional cape that has a red lining on the inside, kind of like Dracula. That, as far as I can tell from the regulations, is still allowed for anyone wearing the evening dress. So, you know, in terms of painting a picture, I think that definitely adds to the visual.
Thanks, Irene. Please like and rate us wherever you get your podcasts. Also on the radar for today, the Army's internal auditors recently concluded that the service has failed to ensure that privatized on-base homes with lead-based paint or asbestos are safe for Army families. That's according to an August 2023 report Army Times exclusively obtained through the Freedom of Information Act. The report is based on an Army audit agency study. It said that the Army's revamped housing inspection program has lacked effective oversight. The inspection program was established in 2020. The study reviewed inspections of 201 homes built before 1978. That's when lead-based paint and asbestos materials were banned from use in new homes. The three installations reviewed were Fort Cavazos in Texas, Fort Liberty in North Carolina, and Joint Base Lewis-McChord in Washington. None of the reviewed homes had received advanced lead paint risk assessments due to disagreements about who would foot the bill. More than 2 in 5 had no documented survey identifying the home's asbestos risk areas. 155 homes reviewed had tenant changes, More than 3/4 of those had no documented lead-based paint visual inspection to identify areas of chipping or peeling lead paint that could pose an immediate health risk to the home's next family. The Army formally agreed with the audit's findings. An Army spokesperson told Army Times the service is taking steps to address the program's shortcomings. And now, here are some other stories that we're hearing chirps about. The Senate partially broke the Pentagon confirmation hold yesterday to place General Randy George as Army Chief of Staff and General Eric Smith as the Marine Corps Commandant. The votes were part of a surprise deal this week to push through three of the top military nominees, despite Alabama Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville's months-long hold on promotions. The U.S. Navy sent two unmanned surface vessels to Japan. It's the first time such vessels have been deployed near China. And Army Lieutenant Colonel Frank Rubio recently broke NASA's single spaceflight record for an American, surpassing the previous record of 355 continuous days in space. Rubio is set to return to Earth on September 27th after 371 days in space. And on this day in history, in 1975, Commander-in-Chief Gerald R. Ford survived an assassination attempt in California. It was the second attempt on the president's life in that month. That's it for us this morning. To get more of the top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to the Early Bird Brief newsletter. Please give us a like, rating, and a comment wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on social media at @defense_news and at Military Times. The Early Bird Brief is hosted by me, Jonathan Lehrfeld, and produced by Zimone Z. Perez. Today's episode features stories by The Associated Press, Leo Shane III, Irene Lowenson, and Davis Winkie. Our podcast editor is Jessica Edwards, and our editor-in-chief is Mike Gruss. Have a great day.